Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Continuing on the series on the Sermon on the Mount. And today it's verse 14, chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 14. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We ask you to breathe on your word today. Lord, open our understanding, open our hearts and our minds to receive the living word of God today. Seal it there. Lord, grant us understanding, transformation. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. You know, light of the world is also a title that Jesus appropriated to himself as well. He is the light of the world. And here he says that you are the light of the world. In John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." So you can tell if somebody is following Jesus because they're not walking in darkness, right? A person who's walking in darkness and says that they're a follower of Jesus or call themselves a Christian is a liar. John said that. So Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." I don't know about you, but I don't like being caught in the dark without a flashlight or some type of light. I remember one time that I was out deer hunting, and it got dark on me, and guess what? I forgot my flashlight. But I was in quite a ways, and I was thinking, well, I just, you know, a few more minutes here. I thought I heard something, you know, crashing around in the woods, and yeah, well, I don't think I heard anything. But long story short, I got caught out in the dark woods at night, cold, without a flashlight. And it's times like that that you realize how important light is. Light is very important. I mean, you know, even people who like to get into the vampirism and all this weird stuff that people are getting into, you know, and or even the occult, they still like to at least have a candle going. You know what I'm saying? Nobody likes pitch darkness. But the Bible says that there is a place in hell where there is utter darkness. So thick the darkness that there is absolutely no light. And that doesn't sound like a place that I'd like to be. And so God is the light. He is the light. He said, "Let there be light." And it was so. He spoke and it came in. What are you talking about? He was talking about light, and he saw that it was what? Good. Do you find light good also? Now, Jesus here is referring to those who would enter into agreement or covenant with him in a relationship. Those are the ones who would be filled with his Holy Spirit. You cannot have light without the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is also God. Would you say amen to that? Amen. God the Holy Spirit must possess a person before they have the light of Christ, before they can see clearly. Other than that, we go about trying to understand things from our own, in our own understanding, in our limited capability. And that's why a lot of spiritual things do not make sense to a natural person, because they are spiritually discerned. We need the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to give us revelation, to turn the light on so that we can understand truth. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And so in the Old Testament, we have a type here where God was given instruction for the care of the lampstand, and this was for the priest. He said, Exodus 27, verse 20, "And you shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light." Now we know oil in Scripture symbolizes what? The Holy Spirit. So you need the Holy Spirit for what? For light. To cause the lamp to burn on Sunday morning. Oh, I'm reading from a different translation. To cause the lamp to burn continually or always. And that word burn means to ascend. To ascend. In the tabernacle of meeting, outside the veil which is before the testimony, this is just outside the Holy of Holies. Now we knew that the tabernacle was the temple, if you will, in the wilderness. And there was three parts. There was an outer court, an inner court, and the most holy place. And in the most holy place was where the Shekinah glory of God dwelt, in the just above the Ark of the Covenant, on what was called the mercy seat. God's literal manifested glory was there. But in that other place, that outer chamber, just on the other side of that veil, was where the lampstand was. That was to have a continuous source of oil to keep that light burning perpetually. And we know that we cannot understand truth unless the mind is illuminated by the Spirit of God. You see, that was a light supplied by the Holy Spirit. But in the very Holy of Holies was where God's literal, amen, manifest glory was. And so it's through the revelation of the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, that we come to realize that God has given you and I an invitation to come into His presence. To receive, amen, forgiveness of our sins, eternal life, and a place with Him in His kingdom forever. To me, that's good news. But we need to hear the Word of the Lord. Amen? So the Holy Spirit always moves with the Word, and He breathes upon that Word, and one day, faith rose up in us, Something rose up in us that caused us to realize that we have need of God's mercy. That was the work of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. And so we come to Him for grace and mercy. We come to the Lord so that we might receive oil in our lamps. Amen? And not just on Sunday morning. But we need to keep being resupplied. You see, that thing was never to go out. That candle was never to go out. Neither is your candle ever to be allowed to go out. How many know that if you don't pray, amen, you don't walk with God, your candle can go out. And you become dead. And there are many who are going through the motions week after week, going to church, doing their thing week after week, but inside they're dead. They become religious now. And religious people destroy people, by the way, because they don't have the light. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. And so this lamp must continually burn. And Aaron, he said in verse 21, and his sons shall tend it. That, who's that? That is the priesthood. Aaron is a type of Jesus, the high priest. How many know Jesus is our high priest? And the Levitical priesthood and his sons, who's that? That's the church. We are also, it tells us in Revelation chapter 1, kings and priests unto God. And the priest is to be responsible to keep the flame. To make sure there's a supply of oil. And that that light is shining so much so, like Jesus said, that men will see the reality of the kingdom. They will want what you have. And it shall be a statute forever for their generations on behalf of the children of Israel. You see, what God did in type, Jesus fulfilled in reality. Amen? David said in 2 Samuel 22, verse 29, for you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness. We know that the pure oil symbolizes the graces, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord is the dispenser of the Holy Spirit. You got to come to Jesus, amen, to receive the Holy Spirit. He is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. And so the priests were to light the lamps, but it was also their daily service to cause the lamp to burn continually. Now, question, how does one get lit? Ever use that term? Man, I got lit last night. You know what? That has a much better meaning now, doesn't it? We can get lit by Jesus, right? And the key here is not just to get lit and let it go out. You get lit and then you continually allow the flow of God's anointing, amen, into your life. So that light will shine and continue to even get brighter as there's a continuous feed from God's Spirit into your life. We were never intended to live independent of our Creator. We were made so that we would require His provision. Are you with me? We will need His provision of grace. Because the problem becomes then is we want to become independent of Him. And whenever we get independent of God, we make a mess of things. Your life gets, well, I'm not going to say it. It gets bad. It begins with the Word of God. Psalms 119:130, you hear me say this a lot. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. We are really in a battle between truth and lies. This is a battle of truth, folks, that we're in. And you cannot know truth except by the Spirit of truth, who is the Holy Spirit, who is the one who will supply, amen, for your lamp. So that you will understand who you are, who He is, and why you exist. What is your purpose? How many know what your purpose is in this world? God is the one who wants to reveal your purpose. But you've got to come to Him. John chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus said, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and they do not come into the light, lest their deeds would be exposed." I remember when I was in the world, man, I used to get around people, not the snobby Christians who thought they were, you know, righteous, more righteous than other people, but real Christians used to make me uncomfortable. You know, I'm talking about people who were just really walking in the Spirit. There was those freaky people, you know. And man, they get around me and they made me really uncomfortable because when you're living in darkness, man, you're like, hey, turn it off, man, you know. You don't want that to be exposed. You don't want your sin to be known. So you hide in darkness. Nobody will ever know. Well, God knows all things. All things are open to Him, to whom everyone shall give an account someday. Every sin, every even idle word that men shall speak, Jesus said, they shall give an account of in the day of judgment. Every word, every thought. Don't you know that we need mercy? Don't pray for God's justice in your life. Pray for His mercy. Because He is a merciful God. John chapter 8, verse 31 says, "If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John chapter 3, verse 21, "But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God." I don't know about you, but it feels really good to have a conscience that is clear. It feels really good to have peace in my life. To not have to be paranoid. To not have to walk around hoping I don't get discovered. You know, like the old song, by looking in the mirror and seeing a police car, you know. Almost cut my hair. Some of you probably remember that song. Yeah. I don't have to live that way anymore. I'm free. My heart is right with my God. My sins are forgiven. Amen. Now all I got to do is be a maintainer of the flame. Just keep walking with Jesus every day. Keep on praying. Keep on pressing on. Listen to His instructions and your way will be blessed. He will not. And that's right. That's right. He will not put out that ember, will He? God wants to breathe on us. The light always rules the darkness. Oh, it nauseates me when I watch this stuff on television and all the horror movies and all the stuff they got out, and they're pumping our kids full of this garbage. Even the adults are watching it. And they're getting all this stuff, and they're getting the message that somehow evil is greater than the good. That somehow evil is stronger than the good. What a bunch of bunk. That is a lie right out of the pit of hell. Light always rules the darkness. Come on. We are children of light. And we are not to be bound by the devil or by sin. We are victorious in Christ. We are overcomers in Christ Jesus. The light always expels the darkness. You come into a dark room and you hit that light switch and that darkness is out of there. The light always rules the darkness. Jesus is the light of the world. Amen? He has all authority. He has all power. It's been given unto Him, what? Unto Him, in heaven and on earth. And even under the earth, even death and hell, amen, are subject to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So don't let the devil convince you. And I've heard people, I had a girl one time, she was demon-possessed. We cast a demon out of her. And she said, you know, the devil had convinced me that he was more powerful than God. You see, you start believing that stuff, then you're giving an open door to him. Because that's a lie. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. And the demons tremble at the name of Jesus. Shout out, Ebikidos. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. If you abide in Christ, you will abide in His light. And darkness is always subject to the light. Hallelujah. Now listen, you and I are not even aware of God's promises until we first learn of them. Hello. That's why this is so important. If you want to know who you are and what God has made available to you, you got to know the Word. But the devil wants to keep you and I out of this thing. He doesn't want you to know the truth because he can only operate in darkness. And where there's a lack of truth, there's darkness. Where there's no truth, there's a lie. And so Jesus wants to shine the light of His Word into our hearts, into our understanding, that once we have the truth of the Word of God, when the devil comes along with a lie, we say, that does not line up with what God says. I'm not receiving that. My Bible says that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm not receiving that spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm not receiving that, devil. We get lit through the Word. Amen? But then we need to plug in through the relationship that God offers us through His Word. The Word reveals the living Word. If you just got the letter and you don't have the living Word, hello, if you've got the written Word but you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you become a religious fanatic. See, I'm a Jesus freak. There's a difference between a Jesus freak and a religious fanatic. Would you agree with that? One is life, one is death. We're not even aware until we get we hear the message of the gospel. We're not aware that we are a sinner. We're not aware often. Sometimes we are, but sometimes we're not. Aware of what God has made available to us, except that someone shares the Word or we read it for ourselves. And then we say, whoa, I never realized that. Has anybody beside myself ever said that? Wow, I never heard that before. That's good stuff. If you love truth, when you hear truth, you'll say, yeah, that's good. I love it. I love it. Because I love light. Because light always conquers darkness. Because when I have light, I can see where I'm going. I know what it's like to stumble around in the darkness, groping for answers here and there and everywhere, and not finding anything there except despair. But when we come to Jesus, we reach out for Him. We get a hold of the truth. We come to a place where light invades our darkness. The light comes on and you say, oh, now I see. I see. Did you see with these? No, you saw with this. So we get lit through prayer. We get lit through praise, communion in the Spirit. And you're already with me, sister, here. But praise and worship fans into flame the ember of the heart. There's times, come on, I know you're not that spiritual out there. But the old ember sometimes, you know, you may be flaming up and sometimes, you know, you just that thing just seems to get dim on you. What do you need to do? Get some fuel on it, right? And it's the oil of the Holy Spirit that lights you up. So you got to get some fuel. You got to get the Word, and you need to pray and seek God, and you need to lift up the name of Jesus. Do you know that we were designed to give God praise? So much of our Christianity today is heresy because it's all focused about man. It's all about man. What do I get out of it? How can I be better? How can I be helped? You know, it's all about me. No, it's not. It's about God. It's about understanding who He is. And when you understand who He is, you will automatically know that this God is worthy of praise. And when you begin to lift up His name and praise Him and exalt Him for who He is, then God will bless you. Amen? God blesses us so we'll be spiritual. Amen? So we can be a blessing. So praise and worship fans into flame that ember of the heart. It's the breath of God breathing on His people that ignites them and causes them to burn for Him. Oil and flame. I wrote this down. I looked it up. You know, there's three ingredients for fire. How many know what they are? Heat, fuel, and oxygen. Heat, fuel, and oxygen. Isn't it interesting? That in order for us to flame, amen, there has to be all three of those. God provides, amen. And He just needs a lampstand to say, here I am, Lord. I'll be a candle for You. Fill me up with oil. Light me up. Amen. And the flame will give off heat. It'll give off a glory. And the glory will be the glory of the Lord that is shining upon the face of God's people. And the world needs to see Jesus in us. They don't need to see us full of us. They need to see us full of Jesus. Acts 19 and 2, some of the disciples, when Paul was at Ephesus, he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said to him, we have not as much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Now, these were believers. But you see, they didn't have the revelation. They didn't receive that word yet that God had sent the comfort of the Holy Spirit to His church to empower her, amen, to shine for Him in such a way that it would be obvious to the world. That's what Jesus meant when He said, let your light so shine before men. So shine that it's going to be obvious to the world that you're dancing to a different flute than they are. Amen? You're not walking according to that course. You're walking in a different place altogether. You've got your mind on things above. Amen? Your heart is settled with Jesus in heaven. You are a manifestation of the Spirit of God on the earth. Right through your life, He wants to flow out. Amen? Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. This He spoke of the Spirit to those who believed on Him would later receive. And so they heard the word about the Holy Spirit. And as soon as they heard that, of course, they said, yes! Fill up. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We want to be baptized with that promise that Jesus told His disciples before His ascension. And He said, if I go away, I will send the Comforter to you. And so they laid hands on them and they spoke the Word of God with boldness. They prophesied and they spoke in new tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You see, you got to have the Word. You got to have the revelation so that you can know what is available to you. So then you'll know what to pray for. You'll know what to ask for. Isn't it true that we don't know how to pray like we ought to? The safest way to pray is to pray according to this Word. It's the revelation of God's heart to us. It's His will. You want to know what's God's will? It's right here. See, people are going around everywhere looking for a word. You know, they need to spend more time in the Word. Because sometimes you're going to get a word and it ain't going to be from God, but you thought it was because the guy looked like a spiritual person. Come on. We better watch out. We better be discerning. You need the light of the Word to give you revelation to protect you from error. Because there is a light that is actually darkness, Jesus said. He said, beware that that light in you is not darkness. There are people who are talking about the light, enlightened ones today. They're having visitations from angelic beings. And they just assume they're from God. And what they're doing is they're opening themselves up to demonic possession. And then the devil begins to destroy them. And not only that does he destroy them, but he uses them to destroy other people. Test the Spirit, whether they're of God or not. So we need to be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, does it make a little more sense that when we come together, what we're doing here? Amen? We're singing, right? We're speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. He's talking about being filled with the Spirit. Giving thanks. Remember, thanksgiving is the password into the throne. Always, for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we have a thankful heart, we will give God praise. So it's not enough just to get lit. Are you with me? We need a supply of oil, and we need to be placed in the location where we're going to shine the brightest. Now, this is where some people have a problem. Is we need to get lit. We need to have a supply of oil. Amen. We need to walk in the Spirit. But then we need to be yielded to the Spirit and allow God to place us in the place or the location where we will shine the brightest. And this is where people sometimes get off. Because they may not like God's assignment for them. Because most times when you are lit for Jesus, He's going to put you in a dark place so that the light will expose the darkness and drive it out. Come on. Now, if I light a candle in this place, in all this light, you know, you may not even notice it too much because there's lots of light around here. But if I turn off all these lights and then I light a candle, everybody's going to see that light. Are you with me? And so God takes us often and He puts us in situations. He puts us among people. Amen? That are living in darkness. Why? So that your light will shine the brightest in that place. You are the light of the world. So don't always try to run away or get out of your assignment. Embrace it and say, thank you, Jesus, that you've allowed me to be your candle in the place that you wanted me to be. Amen. Because the best place to be is in the center of God's will for your life. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm just delighted to be in Shelton. Now, there's nothing really that I like about Shelton except the fact that we get to serve Jesus in Shelton. And we get to make Jesus known to people in Shelton. We let our light shine in Shelton. And Shelton, by the way, is getting consumed by the glory of God. I'm telling you, the glory of God is squeezing out the darkness in this city because God's people are allowing themselves to be a candle. They're allowing God to flow through their lives. They're keeping a supply of oil, and we are praying corporately, we're praying together that God's breaking down the stronghold and the darkness is going to be exposed in the name of Yeshua. Someone recently told me they had a vision while they were praying that the glory of God was coming down over this city. You can see it. And as the glory came down, the darkness got thinner and thinner and thinner and thinner. And she said it was almost gone. And I'm telling you, we're on the threshold of such a revival, I believe, of such a revival in this city, that now is not the time to lay back and get complacent. Now is the time to press in like never before, because it's only going to be the glory of God, amen, that's going to break the darkness. And you and I are to be the candle of the Lord. Hallelujah. And let me remind you one more time, folks, that light always rules the darkness. That's why in Genesis God said, I made the greater light, amen, to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And He said, you are the light of the world. We're the ones that are to light up the darkness. As we look into the face of Jesus Christ, we reflect His glory in the darkness. The darkness does not comprehend it. Sometimes the darkness will reject it. However, God's going to have His way in the end, because every knee shall bow to Him. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm not looking at the way things are right now. We're not looking at the way things are right now. I'm looking at the fact that God is faithful, that God is able. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. God is a great God, and He's in control. He's in charge. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Whew, getting excited. I was thinking about the stars, you know, in the heavens, and how God promised Abraham that He said, look up, look at the stars. So will be your descendants. Guess what? You and I are those stars. In Christ, we're those stars. And what do? They light up the night. Hallelujah. We light up the night. You are the light of the world. Daniel 12:3 says, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. How many are about our Father's business here? How many want to advance the gospel? Amen. Advance the kingdom. We need to be about our Father's business and turning many to righteousness. Turn them from darkness to light, from death to life, from devil to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I better drink some water before I spit on somebody here. So. You keep amening me, I'm going to lose my voice. So, folks, chances are you're exactly where God wants you right now. Even though it looks dark, it may look hopeless, it may look like, what is this all about? But chances are you're exactly where God wants you to be. He may call you to a dark place so that you'll shine. You may have a difficult assignment, but that's where your light will shine the brightest, where you can make the biggest impact. And so Jesus said again, let your light so shine, verse 16, before men, that they may see your good works. For the ultimate purpose of doing what? Glorify our Father. Why are we doing this? Are we doing this for us, or are we doing this for our Father? It's all about Him, you see. We've got to shift away from that consumer mentality. We've got to shift away from that what's in it for me mentality and say, what can I do for you, Jesus? You've already done everything for me. You paid the price for my soul on Calvary. Well, now what can I do to serve you the rest of my life? And you know what? He'll take you up on that. And great will be your reward in heaven. Yeah, for a moment, for a season, you may have to go through some difficulties, some trials, some tribulation. However, when we get to the end of the road, amen, we're not going to take joy in the process. We're going to take joy in who's waiting for us at the end of the road. When we see Jesus, it'll be worth it. Jesus. It's time for a decision. Would you bow your heads?